This is the McKinsey Podcast, where we help you make sense out of our world's toughest business challenges.
Welcome to the show. I'm Lucia Raheli.
And I'm Roberta Fassara.
Part of the reason you hear so much about cloud is because this is the way that successful companies will run their technology environments in the future. It will take time to get there. Maybe 5 years, maybe 7 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 12 years. But the direction of travel is clear.
That's McKinsey partner James Kaplan, who joins me and McKinsey partner Mark Gu to talk about why exactly companies need to be in the cloud and what's keeping them stuck on the ground.
But first, why your company needs the right six words. Scott Keller, McKinsey senior partner and author of CEO Excellence, explains.
I'd like to spend a few moments talking to you about what I call the flash fiction factor in setting the direction for an organization. The name flash fiction comes from a genre of literature where the author endeavors to create a rich and powerful, full story in six words or less. One of the most famous flash fiction stories is allegedly by Ernest Hemingway, and it goes like this. For sale, baby shoes. Never worn. There's a mountain of emotion in that story. There's a heaviness there. It captures so much. And what was fascinating to us is when we talked to some of the best CEOs in the world, when we did our research for CEO Excellence, when we asked them about where are you taking your organization, they had similarly robust, full, and powerful stories that they told in six words or less. Let me give you an example. Piyush Gupta, who is the CEO of the Singaporean bank DBS, truly one of the best banks in the world, when we asked him, where are you taking the company? He said, we're a technology company that makes banking joyful. And I've never forgot that. It's so powerful. It's so rich. It tells me all I need to know about the investments that DBS is making in digital, about the culture they have around customer experience. And it sticks with you. It could guide decisions. It could move you as an employee or as an investor or as a customer in a way that says, I want to be part of that. Then I get to someone like Herb Hainer, who we spoke to about his time as CEO at Adidas, asking him, where did you take the company? What was the goal? He said, we felt like we were there to help athletes perform better than competitors. Six words. Six words that tell you everything you need to know about Adidas isn't competing on fashion or price. They're competing on performance, and they're going to put in the product development investment required for that. That might affect margins. That might change a little bit how you compare them to competitors, but it's so clear, so rich, and so full, and actually pretty exciting. Now, compare that to what happens often when I ask CEOs, what's the strategy of your company? And their first instinct will be to look into their bag or go to their iPad and try and find that 20-page document, that strategy document that their strategy function has prepared for them. And I'll always call time out and say, hey, let's just start with what are the six words you'd use that capture and embody the fullness of what you're trying to achieve. That always creates a very powerful counseling conversation. And it does what American psychologist William Schultz talked about when he said, understanding evolves through three phases. Simplistic, complex, and profoundly simple. It takes you through that journey to the far side of complexity, to where you have that place where the essence can be told richly and fully in six words or less.
So in six words, McKinsey's new research says, successful businesses must be cloud-based. Let's hear from McKinsey partners Mark Gu and James Kaplan.
James, Mark, thanks so much for joining the podcast.
Looking forward to talking with you.
So we're here today to talk about a new report from McKinsey focused on getting the most business value from cloud computing. And I'm not going to bury the lead. There's some $3 trillion at stake here. But while we all know about the cloud, we talk about our music, we talk about our pictures, we talk about all this stuff being up in the cloud, it seems as though companies are still very or fairly slow to adopt. Why are so many cloud programs struggling? Mark can start with you.
Yeah. So we're about 15 years into the cloud journey. We've been engaging in a series of interviews and discussions and forums with cloud leaders at enterprises, right? These are your banks, your insurance companies, your life sciences companies, which are quite different than, say, the digital natives, right? But when you look at these kind of more traditional enterprises, these often highly regulated industries, right, that you're relying on for your day-to-day, there's a number of challenges that they have faced in getting to the cloud. Right? First of all, I think many have done a lot of POCs, right, a proof of concepts, maybe a use case here and there, but by and large, they're still struggling to, you know, achieve the full set of, you know, what cloud can enable in terms of the use cases, right? It's figuring out where the real business value is. I think second is technology, but it's not, oh, I just go use the cloud services. It is, how do I create a real foundational set of capabilities that allows a lot of automation, a lot of scale? Because at the end of the day, that's what the cloud is built for. It is, let's enable a lot of automation. Once you do that, it makes everything else you do more efficient. But if you don't establish that foundation, which many haven't, or you establish multiple foundations, and kind of have what we call cloud sprawl, it actually gets really expensive, right? And that actually bogs things down quite a bit. And then last but not least is the operating model, right? The benefits of cloud come in when you enable the business use cases and when you allow your application developers, right, your engineers to work a lot faster. Well, they don't just work a lot faster with handing new tools. They'll have to be organized differently. It's a totally different skill set, right? It takes a long time to update skills, a lot of time to reorganize organizations. And therefore, when we look at our kind of cohort of around 80 plus cloud leaders at these major enterprises, on the median, we're about 20% adopted in cloud, right? And less than half are really getting value at scale.
Given how much we talk about the cloud, I assume that everyone, right, is using the cloud. And so that it's enlightening, right, to see that number.
If you wind the clock back to 2010, many people, including myself, looked in cloud and said, hey, this is a no-brainer. This is, you know, this is what the world should adopt. A thought of it in terms similar to previous infrastructure improvements or previous improvements in the data center. I would say, oh, gee, we'll adopt this. Applications will become much cheaper to host, and life will get better. We failed to take into account a couple of things. First of which is how much money had already been taken out of the data center. Back in 2001, we were often running, you know, a single application on a $50,000 server. You know, in the past few years, because of virtualization and commoditization, we might be running 10 applications on a $10,000 server. There's much less, sort of hardware hosting costs to remove. And then second, and much more importantly, cloud requires a much higher degree of change. Mm-hmm. Changes in the application architecture, changes in the business technology operating model. So even though cloud is by far the superior way to host an application, it requires significant investments in underlying services, in application remediation, in building new organizational capabilities that change the ROI dynamics. You can't make the case on IT cost by itself. The reason you go to cloud is because the business value it enables through agility, scalability, innovation, flexibility. And that's organizationally a harder business case to make because in many cases, the benefits and the investments happen in two different parts of the income statement or two different parts of the organization.
Let's talk Gen AI, right? The topic of the day. Can traditional enterprises leverage Gen AI on public cloud, for example, to actually compete over the next 10 years and grow? Or are we going to see a repeat of the last 10 years where you have the digital natives say, okay, new technology, I'm going to move fast, I'm going to scale fast, and I'm going to use Gen AI or other pioneering technologies to really capture the lion's share of the opportunity. Right? You know, everybody hears about cloud because it's where we see a lot of the innovation, we see a lot of the buzz.
Right.
And the traditional industries, you know, have struggled in the past to catch up, get that mind share.
There's some part of me that doesn't even like the term cloud.
Why?
Because it implies what's different is running the application in someone else's data center versus your data center. What's really different about cloud is the level of automation. It allows us to think about infrastructure as code, entire systems as code, which means that they can be provisioned and reprovisioned in an automated fashion and monitored and supported in an automated fashion. Part of the reason you hear so much about cloud is because this is the way that successful companies will run their technology environments in the future. It will take time to get there, maybe 5 years, maybe 7 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 12 years. But the direction of travel is clear.
Are there particular industries that stand to gain more or less value from their cloud programs?
But it's no surprise things like industries like software, media, right, streaming media, etc. And then there are industries who are a bit more in the middle, right? I would say life sciences. We've seen quite a bit of adoption, and you know, clearly, for example, the ability to develop and test and roll out new drugs like vaccines. Has demonstrably benefited from being on a cloud platform. You know, Moderna being a fantastic case example, having the quickest to develop the COVID vaccine because mm-hmm. they were already on cloud. And then I'd say following life sciences, you got for example financial services, banking, insurance, payers. Within there, folks like asset managers have actually adopted cloud very aggressively. And with huge benefit because that business depends a lot on analytics. You're basically doing a lot of portfolio modeling, risk modeling, and finding, you know, if the better you can do that, the more alpha return you can generate, right? And with fewer resources. But more, even within banking, more traditional, say, retail banking or investment banking, those are still much, very much kind of relationship based, and maybe cloud and technology has been viewed as slightly less critical, right? And then finally, you've got industries that are clearly have huge regulatory or other business model hurdles that have made it more difficult to adopt cloud. For example, in the utility industry, on purpose, the return on capital is set by the regulator. You know, if you invest in cloud, you know, the question is, okay, what's my return on it? Well, if it's regulated, if it's set, you know, it's a harder, you have less room to be able to innovate potentially. So the pace and applicability and the number of hurdles that you have to overcome differs by industry.
So what's your general guidance to help companies make good decisions on their cloud investments, making sure that they're getting the most ROI?
Our research shows, right, we modeled what's the total return on investment for, say, a life sciences company, pharmaco, or a bank. Over the course of a 7-8 year period, it's over 180% return on investment, which is a very attractive financial profile for, if you went to the CFO of a company. The reality is there's been a lot of value leakage. Right. What we found was there's really three big value leakage areas that can take your 180% ROI down to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Point one is, you're not fully utilizing the cloud to enable the full breadth of use cases. So a lot of times what happens is we build an expensive cloud foundation. We're super excited about it. But then if you have 10 business units, for example, or 10 kind of customer segments, we kind of take a very scattershot approach of saying, well, let's enable this one use case and this other use case over here. And what happens is it's very expensive to enable the first use case because you have all these foundations you have to build, the security, the resilience, you have to have a dedicated team. But if you only make one use case, you're not going to pay back. And if it's spread across 10 different business units, every business unit has a unique kind of snowflake need, all of a sudden your costs go up 10x, but your value is still, it's just kind of, it's not consequential. Well, that's 30 to 50% of the ROI right there, right? Is right there. So the second area is cloud sprawl. You know, it's a sibling of the first problem, which is, hey, we're trying to, you know, take a very democratic approach. That's what a lot of times happens in kind of large, complex organizations is because you're trying to get broad organizational buy-in. You want everybody to be happy. And so you say, well, we're going to start on one cloud provider. Oh, we're going to do another cloud provider with this other business unit and a third cloud provider. And that kind of methodology extends also to development tools, security tooling, monitoring tooling, data platforms. All of a sudden, you've multiplied your complexity by 2 or 3x of what you need. And the challenge there is, of course, simple math says, well, now your costs are up 2 to 3x. That's another 30 to 50% of your ROI out. And the last piece is the combination of this operating model and you know, slowness in cloud adoption. What happens is, you know, a lot of organizations go to the cloud with at least some notion of, I'm going to recover a lot of these costs. The challenge with that is many of these costs are not variable. It's not, I move one application over and, you know, I can save an application's worth costs on-premise and I get it in the cloud. A lot of these are large fixed costs, right? There's not just the data centers are fixed costs, but software contracts are fixed costs. In our modeling, you haven't really taken big chunks of costs out of your existing data centers and existing setup until you're kind of 30 to 50% of the way there to the cloud, right? Mm-hmm. Because then you can meaningfully reduce parts of your legacy estate. That's where most enterprises are. They're 20, 30% of the way there. They need to move quickly beyond that. So there's your another chunk of ROI. You're down to zero.
It's a complicated business case to make. Mark, in the report, we talk about potential paths forward, right? What are some of the first steps that companies can take to mitigate some of these challenges that we've just been discussing?
So as a technology leader, you say, okay, let's talk about what, not necessarily just single use cases, but what business domain do we really want to focus on? Let's say, are we really going to focus on, let's figure out a big domain that we really want to go after. And then as a technologist, I can help figure out what is the almost minimal foundation that gives you the computational capabilities, that gives you access to the latest and greatest services from the providers, that gives you in a secure and resilient way. What's the right skill sets? Talent is expensive, right? Analytics, cloud engineering, those are very expensive skill sets. So what's the most fit for purpose set of talent that you can either bring in or retrain? Now all of a sudden you have a well-defined outcome with kind of a very efficient delivery path. So there's a whole set of things and skill sets that you can wrap around this core that really gives you your best shot at achieving the most return for your investment.
And it really does all come back to this idea of the business tech connection has to be there. It can't be driven by one or the other. It has to be a collaboration.
Yes.
No, I love that.
We often see our role as making that connection, right? Helping educate both the business leaders as well as the technologists on how to think about this, because the investments are in technology, but the benefits are in the business. Right?
Are there any companies out there that are starting to, you know, sort of become exemplars or beacons of what to do correctly.
So it's a rare breed, right? 10% of companies that are getting value at scale. That means they're both 80% or more on their cloud journey in terms of adoption, and they're getting value out of it. Right? Sometimes you can have one but not the other. You know, these organizations, number one, for example, financial services, one, you know, they're more of a financial market regulatory body. They had a problem a few years ago about how do we monitor all of these transactions in the market and spot, you know, things like insider trading and fraud and all this stuff. Well, it's a massive, massive data problem, right? And it's highly real time. And their existing infrastructure, existing software on premises just wasn't capable of handling trillions of transactions, you know, a day. And so instead of kind of rebuilding on premises and traditional techniques, they said, why don't we try this cloud thing, right? It allows us to experiment quickly and then, you know, scale almost infinite size in terms of the amount of analytics we can do. Allows us to build highly automated fraud detection and, you know, kind of algorithmic approaches to detecting these idiosyncrasies. A lot of times these algorithms are available as a service already. Mm-hmm. We don't have to build from scratch. Right? Mm-hmm. And so they did that and they saved a bucket load of money, I'll say hundreds of millions of dollars. And then that was, you know, one of their core kind of business domains. And so then they said, okay, well, hey, if this is working on the cloud, why don't we just start moving the rest, start building around this core that can benefit from the scalability, the automation, the innovation. And lo and behold, at this point, they're basically 100% in the cloud and getting a tremendous amount of value from it.
The only thing I would add is they really rewire the business technology operating model. And mm-hmm. one of the things our cloud sites research indicated is that broadly adopting a product, an agile product, business technology operating model appears to be highly correlated with capturing value in the cloud.
I wonder, in this case, incremental change is still good? I mean, it feels like, you know, it's going to take time, right, for people to get the talent and infrastructure and things that they need.
I think it's true. Don't necessarily try to transform everything all at once, but pick one area, a business domain or a business unit, and implement all the changes within that organization. Mm-hmm. Because you need kind of those simultaneous, you need kind of critical mass within one area. There's a much more nuanced and smart way of doing it, which is, how do I optimize just enough to benefit, say, from the infrastructure scalability of cloud and the security and resiliency there, without changing all my applications, without mm-hmm. redoing all my data. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one organization we've talked to kind of took that approach and they were able to get there, you know, get to 80% of the cloud in 2 years. And now they're saying, okay, let's do the double down and really modernize and change everything in terms of the applications.
I imagine the conversation around the cloud can be daunting. So I think this is wonderful guidance for folks who are looking to executives who need to kind of figure out what the first step is and then the one after that. James, Mark, thanks so much for joining today.
Thank you, Roberta. We're super excited about the journey ahead with cloud.
It was a great pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to the McKinsey Podcast. I'm Lucia Raheli.
And I'm Roberta Fasaro.
Find us on McKinsey.com. We'll have a transcript of this episode up shortly.
And download the McKinsey Insights app, where you can find this podcast and other helpful content updated daily.
If you enjoyed the show, we'd love for you to leave a rating and a review.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.